Welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 39. I'm Chuck Warner. With me, as always, is my co-host Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
I'm Trying to Think is a podcast brought to you by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can follow I'm Trying to Think on Twitter, twitter.com/I'm Trying to Think. And you can become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook, search for I'm Trying to Think. And you can write us emails at contact that I'm trying to think.
I was kind of hoping you were just going to end the sentence there. It sounded strong. You're just like, and you can write us emails. And I was hoping you were just done.
No, never done. Your opening music this week is All World Cowboy Romance by Mission of Burma.
A good choice.
Good song, yeah. From Signals, Calls, and Marches.
A good album.
I'm going to take your word for it. I don't think I've listened to it. I'm sure I've actually listened to the whole album, but I don't remember it right now.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, listen to it. You'll like it.
I will, but later. First, Dave, let me introduce a segment that I'm going to be doing later in the show, which is, I'm pissed at the fans.
Okay.
Pissed at the fans.
Really, I'm pissed at the listeners. Haranguing.
I don't even care if you're a fan. I'm pissed at the listeners, period, fan or not. Help me with my rage, I'm going to throw some Mission of Burma out there again. It's not really, it doesn't sound that angry, but apparently they're a very loud band.
They're an extremely loud band.
Good for them.
I'll say, in terms of things that when you think in retrospect, they're very obvious, but are good to know as advice anyway, I'm going to give this to our listeners, is when a band went on a 20-year hiatus because the guitarist got tinnitus, the place you don't stand at that band's concert is directly in front of his amplifiers.
All right, then.
That turns out to be very, very loud.
Did you learn that the hard way?
Yes, I did.
Right on. So, Dave.
Yeah.
To start off the show, I decided that it's time maybe we talk about a serious topic, yo.
Okay, you're already kind of undercutting that, but sure, serious
topic.
This is
a serious topic, yo.
Why is this happening? Why is...
Because every once in a while on the show, I think it's important for us to cover a serious topic, yo.
No, that's not the part that I was specifically asking, why is it happening? I'm fine with us covering, you know, serious topics, the issues of the day, what have you.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about the yo.
I think it's good. I'm just saying I think it's good when we cover a serious topic, yo.
I understand.
All right. Word up. Here's my serious topic.
Like, am I co-hosting the show with Cameo?
You're interrupting.
I'm co-hosting the show with Cameo, apparently.
I just want to cover a serious topic, yo.
I should not let you listen to New Jack Swing.
Word up. I was going to talk briefly. Let's start on the topic here. I'm gonna say it in these three words, which are only vaguely accurate to the actual topic. Ground Zero Mosque. Ground Zero Mosque. Or, to put it on a serious tip, Ground Zero Mosque, yo!
Really, this encompasses...
You're stammering over that because you're in pain, in a mental anguish kind of mode.
Yeah, basically, this encompasses my... I'll just sum up both my feelings on the topic and your, like, early 90s New Jack Swing-infused vocabulary, and it's just...
All right.
That's my general. I mean, we can delve deeper. I'll use words.
Okay.
But that's my general overview of how I feel about
back
the whole
on
thing.
To our serious topic, yo. So I think we're probably both agreeing on our opinions of the Ground Zero Mosque, and that's why we're gonna go through that actual part quickly. There's an issue at the heart of that issue that I actually want to talk about.
All right.
So let's do Ground Zero Mosque thing first. Okay. First of all, it's not really a Ground Zero, because Ground Zero, by definition, means the exact place where something happened, you know?
Yeah, it's a couple
ground
blocks
zero
away.
For a nuclear explosion is the spot.
The spot that thing landed.
The spot that it landed. So, being blocks away from Ground Zero, calling it a Ground Zero mosque, immediately false. Second, while there's a mosque inside, it's actually a full community center. So that's a little bit misleading. Third, I think we both agree, I don't care where the hell you put a mosque. Not only are you able to do it, it's not in bad taste to put one anywhere. Are you agreed?
Yeah, that seems fair.
And I would take a step further.
No, I would say there are places it would be in bad taste to put a mosque. Like, I'm going to say, for example, in an Indian graveyard.
Okay, Indian graveyard, yeah. In an amusement park, that would be in bad taste.
On the Strip in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that would be in bad taste.
Because anything in Las Vegas
is bad taste. Right. Okay, so one of the things that was said, I think, by Newt Gingrich.
On top of a donkey.
That would be in bad taste to put anything, though, yeah, pretty much. Except your packs, perhaps.
Yeah, cargo.
Cargo.
Possibly another donkey if you're trying to make more donkeys.
Or if it's a mule, you could possibly put Sister Sarah on it, I think.
Reference, whip over my head.
This is a Clint Eastwood movie, Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
All right.
I don't remember anything about it. I just remember the title.
That's good enough for what we needed to pull out
of it. So, one of the things that was said was, hey, this is like, you wouldn't let Nazis put a building across the street from the Holocaust Museum. Let me answer that. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I would let the Nazis put a building anywhere so long as they purchased the property and had all the correct zoning laws in effect and everything else. Ordinances, whatever.
Yeah, although I have a hunch that the community zoning board would have something to say about it.
Yes, if there's community zoning board. If the condo board's probably not going to be a big fan. I'm just saying. But other than that, Nazis can put a building up across from a Holocaust museum. The Holocaust. Any Holocaust museum. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Period. Because that's what freedom is like. That's what freedom of speech looks like. It looks like horrible things that you disagree with being said in public. So, what I wanted to get to...
Like, for example, if someone starts using the word yo when they really shouldn't, you know, that's just freedom of speech. I have to sit there constitutionally and take
it. Dave, you're digressing. So, I would like to get back to my serious topic, yo.
And you have the constitutional right. The government can't stop you, even though I wish they could.
All right. Well, that's a whole other topic about freedom of speech versus, speech without consequences. And that's a different topic, and we won't talk about it right now. All right? Are we agreed?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about real, hardcore, triple X-rated freedom of speech. Yo. Do you think, Dave, that there's ever a situation where speech should be punishable?
You mean in the sort of constitutional by the government?
Right. By First Amendment law as it's written, or you could say, I'm Dave Stern, I believe in freedom of speech, and this is where I would draw the line. Because we got our classic example, which is like fire in a crowded theater, right?
There's fire in a crowded theater. Constitutionally, there's fighting words. Is a gray area.
Yeah, I mean, hate speech.
Hate speech in America.
Inciting a riot.
Yeah, inciting a riot is where it tinges to a gray area. You got your, you know, in some other countries, you got your slander and libel.
Well, we got it here, but it's
yeah, but here
civil.
It's much. Yeah, here it's civil. It's criminal.
They actually are. They are passing hate speech laws in places in Europe, which I'm really adamantly against. But that's nothing. There's nothing I can do about that. So yeah, but I mean, how do you feel about the hate speech? How do you feel about hate speech?
Hate speech?
Yeah, hate speech.
For me, the trick on hate speech is when you start edging into, you know, inciting riot, fighting words. Because I think some of that stuff is legitimate to not constitutionally protect.
Okay.
Fighting words.
Fighting words. Do you think that there are words that people should, if they say them and violence is acted against them, that they should be responsible for that violence? Like, is there a word I could say to you, or a phrase, or a sentence, or even a story? I don't care. Is there a novella I can read to you that would incite you to rage and hit me, and you would think you're justified and I was wrong?
I'm not that fond of Stephen King's Thinner.
All right.
Son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. No, I just don't believe it.
In seriousness, I think the inciting riot stuff, I'm not convinced 100% either way, but I think you can make a case for criminal responsibility for inciting a riot.
I could definitely get behind making a case for criminal responsibility in ordering people to act who you very reasonably suspect will actually carry out those actions.
Right.
At your behest. Right. Okay, I can get behind that a little. But here's the fight. The fighting words thing I don't agree with at all. There should be nothing I say that makes me responsible for your actions. In an assault on me kind of way. Now, I can see how that sentence that I just said would defy the fact that I believe that there may be, you know, some inciting a riot kind of thing. But that's a different thing, you know. In fighting words, I'm saying some shit, and then you're doing something I really don't want you to do. In inciting a riot, there's, I'm saying some shit, and then you're doing stuff that I wanted you to do.
Man, at this point I'm annoyed, because I used to know, like, the fighting words case. Like, I could cite the case
I
knew stuff. Now I'm gone, so I have, like, not nearly as much to contribute as I want to have.
That's why you shouldn't be drinking all that liquor. I told you not to whiskey up before the show.
It's delicious, is the thing.
Word up. Okay, so, do you think there are fighting words that are not protected?
Yes, there are three of them specifically.
Okay.
There's word.
Word.
Up.
Up.
And yo.
And yo. All right. That's interesting. I thought you would have gone in the more, you know, racially charged speech.
No,
direction.
I have my beliefs, and they're very firm, and they're for, I'm going to say, a fairly specific reasons.
Fairly specific reasons. All right. That's interesting. Do you think there's any case to be made about anybody building, buying, or otherwise using private land for a certain kind of speech? Where, like, location of that land, history of that land. Do you think there's any case there for anything?
No, I mean, I feel like you'd have to pick any part of the First Amendment, and doing anything to prevent that would violate that part. I mean, speech, association, freedom of religion, it's a slam dunk, really. Although, in fairness, I will say a lot of people are doing the kind of, what I would say is a bitch move. Of saying, well, no, of course, you know, because they can't argue that it's not, you know, constitutionally protected. And then it's like, but they shouldn't do it.
That's bullshit.
That's the move people make.
I mean, I've seen a lot of analogies on this. I think my favorite is probably that, thusly, you should not build Catholic churches near schools.
Yeah, I think there's one about, like, not building, like, a Japanese shrine near Pearl Harbor, and I think there actually is a Shinto shrine there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good one.
There are people who would say that that's bad taste, too.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, that's not outlandish. That's not an outlandish enough analogy to, you know, attempt to turn people. Well, and all you really get out of that is people saying, no, it's not the same because it's different.
Yeah. It's not the same because I'm scared of people.
Yeah. Brown people are scary, though.
Yeah.
All right. And put yourself in the shoes of a Muslim for a moment. Yo. If you were going to build a Victory Mosque, where would it be?
Ooh, like a Victory Mosque? This is putting myself in the shoes of specifically a radical Islamist who is trying to build a Victory Mosque.
Put yourself in the shoes of people who want to build Victory Mosques. Because, yes, I don't really think that's a significant percentage of Muslims. But let's say you're a Victory Mosque builder. Where do you build your Victory Mosque? Because I'll tell you, in an abandoned Burlington coat factory, not my first choice.
Is this, like, my dream Victory Mosque or a Victory Mosque I can get?
You probably want to be fairly realistic, but I'll take your fairly realistic Victory Mosque and your dream Victory Mosque.
Because, you know, if I am, you know, a jihadist terrorist, you definitely want, you know, you want the White House Mosque. Come on. That's a gimme.
I say George Washington Memorial because it's like a big phallus. And then you're like, no, my phallus is bigger because I built a mosque on top of your phallus.
So you just onion dome that thing?
Maybe, yeah. That could work.
And that'd look like...
Or Lincoln Memorial on Lincoln's lap. Because you're like, yeah, I'll be like this.
Just right there, right in his lap?
Right there in his lap. There's nothing... And you get to also change his face to a surprised expression. Like, whoa, what's going on here?
Mount Muskmore, I'm thinking.
That's not a bad idea either. You could build it and then have the Mimarets stick up out of the president's heads.
You know what it just occurs to me that has happened as we discuss these things?
No, but you can...
Apparently, Al-Qaeda has just become Carmen Sandiego villains.
Yeah, they are like Carmen Sandiego villains. Well, between Carmen Sandiego villains and Captain Planet villains, which one makes the least amount of sense? Also, wasn't Carmen Sandiego the villain?
Yeah, but villains from the Carmen Sandiego television
show.
Program.
Hey. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Okay, we're not in an acapella band here.
No. Anyhow, I would say of the two, Carmen Sandiego villains make less sense because, in general, not always, but... Often,
yes,
the eco-crime people were also doing things to make money.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in general, in a general sense.
Because here's, to me, the difference
I was always
between
like
the two crime
buying,
syndicate,
know?
Between these two sort of crime criminal types, these archetypes of crime,
yeah.
Is that the Captain Planet criminals were doing it sometimes for, you know, financial gain, and then also sometimes out of sheer demented pleasure because they hated the environment.
All right. Yeah, that seemed to be the case more often.
Whereas Carmen Sandiego villains were always doing it just for the hell. Like, basically, there was no financial gain, there was no monetary... They were doing it completely, as I understand. They're like those, like... gentleman cat burglar, like, art thieves in, you know, that kind of movie. You know, like, so, your Thomas Crown Affair thing. Except without
I've
money.
I've not seen either almost. Version of the Thomas Crown
The Affair. Ones that are just purely... I don't even remember. I think
How about Hudson Hawk?
They might be like Hudson Hawk, yeah.
I don't remember a thing about Hudson Hawk.
Me neither.
Except that I've
That's,
seen it.
But I'm agreeing with you. For some reason.
Yeah.
So they might be like Hudson Hawk. But they're in it for no personal gain.
Speaking of terrible movies, though, I've been watching all the Star Trek movies.
Uh-huh.
And those are some terrible movies.
Most of them, yeah.
Search for Spock was almost tolerable.
I mean, Wrath of Khan is legitimately
pretty,
entertaining.
Pretty good. The Star Trek The Motion Picture, though, is pretty bad. There are whole sequences of that which you should be drunk or high for, and that's the only reason to watch it. And then Voyage Home, still, my memory served me correctly, the worst movie of all time, I think.
I feel like you're on a bit of an angry island on that one. Because I think, from what I understand, the rule for most Star Trek fans
I've heard this even rule. No.
Even odd thing.
Because,
but you're not on board with the Voyage Home.
Search for Spock is way better than Voyage Home. Zardoz is better than Voyage Home. I can only think of one movie right now where I'd rather watch The Voyage Home again, and that is Manos, Hands of Fate. And that's not so much that the movie itself is bad.
You just don't like the lovable 80s time travel?
It's just drawn out to, like... They don't even explain the time travel. That's the best part upon watching that movie again. It's basically like, writers are like, well, we need them to time travel because we want to film whole sequences without sets. And we're just going to walk in Los Angeles... them in goofy costumes and make a movie. So they're basically like, Spock's like, I'm way ahead of you, Captain. I got this time travel thing ready to go. And then they just do it. And then when it's time to go back, they just do it again. There's no, like, huge kind of made-up pseudoscience or anything. They slingshot around the sun. There's no part of that that makes sense. They didn't even try. They didn't even call, like, a Stephen Hawking or anybody. Just they didn't call the high school physics teacher next door to be like, so if I wanted to time travel, how would I do it? They basically took, like, the Superman approach. They just spun the Earth backwards and time traveled. Bullshit.
Yes.
Yo. What are you singing?
Nothing. That was kind of elevator. There's an elevator going in my head.
You're spacing out.
Yeah, I think last week tracked me out.
All right. Listen. Freedom of speech. It's a freedom, yo. That's all there is to it. Ow. All right, Dave, you ready to take a small break here?
Let's do that. We got some things to work out.
All right. We'll be right back with more I'm Trying to Think. That I'm like, bitch be tripping, yo! Welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 39. Do you know what that means, Dave?
No. Not specifically.
The next episode will be episode 40.
Oh, well, yeah, that's how counting works.
And people probably all, they all be like, why it take you so long to get out episode 39? Or no, 38. It took us a while to get episode 38 out of the ones that was recorded onto the
Internet.
Yeah. And I'm just telling them, hey, you're going to have to deal. And we might as well deal with this now. I'm pissed at the listeners. Dave.
All right.
Listen up, people. We don't do this podcast for our health, okay? And we don't do this podcast for any money, okay? We do this podcast so that our fan count on Facebook can go up. Dave, do you know what happened this week?
No.
Our fan count on Facebook went down by one. Listen, people, you have friends. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they like the show. I don't care if they listen to the show. I don't care if three of you listen to the show, which is my estimation right now. Those three of you only need to find one or two people, and their count can go up. All right? Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, imtryingtothink.com.
Man, I got a question.
Yeah.
If I start setting some things up, with our websites and our feeds and stuff, so I can get you more numbers, is that going to be better because that diffuses this weird obsession? Like it diffuses, when I say defuses, I don't mean like a bomb. I mean like diffuse, like, you know, diffusion, like gas. Will that diffuse this number obsession amongst many different numbers, but make it, you know, less?
I need...
Or will it just make it worse? Will it just... Would more numbers just make you worse?
Chart that goes up, you know, from left to right. Goes up.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I need one of those.
You don't care what number, then? Whatever.
I care what the numbers are within reason. Within reason, Dave. I mean, obviously, if they're numbers that, you know, give me a positive feeling about things as they're progressing with the show and the people and the what's-its, then I will feel a lot better, yo.
Why not just joy in the work, man? Take joy in the work.
You know, Andrew Carnegie said, my heart is in the work.
He did. It's true.
Andrew Carnegie also had more money than I have, not even counting inflation for the fact that it was 80 years ago. He just had more money than me.
True.
I can't go swim in my Uncle Scrooge gold pile, okay? So this is what I got. I got Facebook numbers. That's what I got, Dave. I don't know what kind of man you're asking me to be. I'm not here to be a perfect man. I'm not here to be Neil Young's heart of gold, okay? When he's looking around for it. I'm not here to be the Kinks' heart of gold either. Although that's a different.
And I think both those singles did pretty good numbers, though.
They did, and they did far better numbers than we're doing on Facebook.
Oh, man, I wonder how many fans like Facebook on Heart of Gold. I bet it's a
lot. I'm just saying.
That's a really good album.
I'm just saying, I was thinking, when we started, we'd be doing pretty good numbers, you know? I'm not saying we'd be the most popular podcast on the internet, but we'd be doing pretty good numbers. We're doing the same numbers we were doing a year ago. It's our three friends, and that's it. My wife doesn't even listen to the show. What does that mean? Come on.
You know, I think sometimes you got to count your blessings.
I'm just saying.
Sometimes you got to count your blessings.
Well, I'm counting them.
Ours are apparently three.
I'm counting them. One, two, three. I've got it counted. Counting these rocks, bitch. All right, man. So that's out of the way.
You're really trying to hit the urban demographic today, aren't you?
That's where the numbers are, Dave. I've seen the future, and it is, I'm trying to thank yo. Oh, wait. Word, I'm trying to thank yo.
So are we trying to reach the urban demographic of 1993 specifically?
Let me tell you what I saw today, Dave, and you'll understand why I put this in perspective. In this perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was driving up my street. There's a high school on my street.
Yeah.
I saw a gentleman. I would estimate he was 16 to 18 years of age.
The gentleman's kind of a strong word then.
He's wearing...
Was he wearing a suit?
He's wearing some...
Spats?
Khaki shorts, right?
Okay. So, okay.
Probably about four sizes too big.
Right.
They're rolling down past his knees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's got some colorful shoes on.
Like the youth like a colorful
white
shoe.
Socks pulled up real high.
Because that's cool.
He's got a patterned blue kind of hoodie thing on.
It's really made an impression. This gets you stuck in your sense memory.
A blue hat that matched, which was...
this is novelistic.
Yes. The blue hat was also patterned, but... It was, in the modern untouched style. The brim was straight.
Right.
The top was unmarred. I would describe him, Dave, as a 5'7", white, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And he had two normal-looking girls with him. Just normal-looking.
Like five fingers.
Yeah, you know, just your average teenage girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
In time with the fashions. No craziness on their part. No Will Smith inspiration in their outfit whatsoever.
Right.
So, it seems to me that if two teenage girls are hanging out with 5'7" white Prince of Bel-Air, that's going to be where it's going now. You know what I mean? And I can tell you a couple things about Will Smith, right? He's catchy, okay? He's timeless. He raps clean, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
He raps clean, okay? You don't need to be dropping no F-bombs with Will Smith.
No.
So I'm saying if this kid... Okay, look. Two normal-looking, attractive, in-style, hip teenage girls did not hang out with me at any point during my junior high or high school career.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had like a couple cute preppies, and here and there you got your raver or your punk girl, right? That was as close as I ever got. So this guy knows what's going on, obviously. So I am just taking him as some inspiration, yo.
Hmm.
I know all the words to Informer by Snow. Okay. I know Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. I even remember some deep cuts from that album. Deep cuts, Dave.
Is one of them the Ninja Turtle rap?
I That wasn't on that album, Dave. That was on the album, the soundtrack for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. Okay? But now that you mention it, I did have the soundtrack for the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which did not have Vanilla Ice on it, but had some excellent other artists of the time. So, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, yo, I'm trying to think raps. We might want to consider it, that's all.
Well, here's what I'm going to come back at you with.
Come back at me, Dave. Bitch be tripping.
So, if the direction we need to take the show is basically the most visually arresting person we've seen when we were walking around in public recently.
Yeah, let's go with that as the theme.
Then where I've got to go is last night I am going to the grocery store.
Like you do.
Because I need some more milk.
You need groceries.
Milk specifically.
Where else do you go?
The grocery store.
All right. So are we talking Giant Eagle?
We're talking a Giant Eagle.
In Edgewood?
Because that's what's open, yeah.
All right. All right. I know what you're talking about. Continue.
So,
for those of you playing at home, go to your Google Maps and Google Edgewood Giant Eagle.
I saw a gentleman who, you know, and this part is, you know, not out of place.
Right.
You know? The sentence I'm about to say is something that would be very reasonable to say.
Okay.
I saw a gentleman, you know, wearing a simple wooden cross.
All right.
The part that's interesting about it is that this simple wooden cross was approximately 3 feet tall. Like, it was maybe
three feet.
It was, like, entire torso.
And when you say wearing, he was wearing it
like
around
his
neck.
Yes. It was basically entire torso. I would say about 3 feet by, you know, 1 foot.
All right.
Basically, the pieces were, you know, thick, you know, maybe a good 4 or 5 inch thick piece of wood.
Uh-huh.
So, basically, it's like the Flav clock of Jesus.
Let me tell you how I think this proceeds in this gentleman's mind, right? He loves Jesus, but he wants to have some bling. So he thinks, hey, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus didn't have bling, and he wouldn't have had it anyways, because he lived the life of an ascetic. He lived,
right.
You know,
it would be
poor,
easier for
poor man's life.
You know,
but
a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, rich man in heaven, etc., etc.
Yeah, I'm sure all Christians abide by that.
And from that, you get the prosperity gospel.
It's true, obviously. Anyways. So he's thinking, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus was a carpenter. So he gets some carpenter bling, which is like a 3 foot wooden cross. I thought you were going to go much different. I thought he was going to be lugging around like an 8 foot cross. Because that would be something.
No, that would be a hell of a thing outside the grocery store.
Yeah. Or inside the grocery store.
I feel like they'd probably stop him from entering.
How are you going to stop a man carrying a cross from entering?
I feel like his way would be barred. I've read parts of the New Testament. I believe that's one of the things that happens.
Letter to a Christian nation.
He is scourged.
You guys.
There's a spear pierced in his side.
Need to stop walking around.
And he is not allowed
to
have entry in the grocery store. That happens, right?
I think so. I think Longinus stabbed him to keep him from going up to the automated doors. No. 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 That cross is too big. Can't bring that in here.
You'll bother the customers.
You're damn right. A 3 foot wooden cross bothers the customers. Because even if you're real, like, even if you're a hardcore Christian, you got to look at that and go,
what?
What? Because it's just uncomfortable. It's like having a cross tattooed on your forehead. You may really love Jesus, but people are going to have questions for you. They're not going to let that shit fly, you know. You can wear a cross around your neck. But you tattoo it on your forehead, even right side up, people are gonna ask some questions.
One question, mostly.
What the hell are you doing with that thing on your head? All right, well, so you're saying what we should do is move into perhaps the world of Christian radio.
Yeah.
We can do Christian, Austin, like, urban.
But, well, that's what this was.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was certainly Christian urban, but...
I don't think...
It was ostentatious, but not in a shiny way.
I just don't think that...
interesting to me.
I don't think that 5'7", white, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air has an interest in a 3-foot wooden cross. So we're really going to have to probably pull away from him, you know, and find a middle ground. I don't know what the middle ground is between 3-foot wooden cross man and 5'7", white, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But okay.
Hold on. I'm going to start synthesizing. Let's
use 100% of your brain.
And we're going a little Hegelian here.
Hegelian.
We've got a thesis.
We have a thesis.
Our thesis is 5'7", white, Fresh Prince.
That's right.
The antithesis is 3-foot cross necklace.
All right. Synthesis time.
Okay.
Bring it together.
Thinking synthesis, Fresh Prince on the cross.
That's a direction. I was thinking Will Smith made of wood.
Will Smith made of wood, that's...
They're close, though. You gotta admit, they're close. Both have wood and Will Smith.
Yeah,
I mean, assuming you were going with Fresh Prince, Will Smith Fresh Prince, not Fresh Prince, I don't know.
I was thinking more we should crucify this kid from your neighborhood, but... Your idea?
If you could find him.
But here's the thing. I'm a little more on your idea because it's more merchandisable.
Or we could just go.
We can sell wooden figurines of Will Smith. It's hard to make money off of crucifying some guy.
We could find a compromise by moving in another direction. For instance, robotic Mr. Belvedere.
It's been done.
That's right. It has been done. Oh, man. Who knew? We're behind the times again,
Dave. I knew.
I did. I knew too, but I forgot that I knew. So that's like as if I didn't know.
But now you know what you didn't know.
Now I remember what I knew.
Well, the testament.
Which is different than not knowing something.
Well, the testament of Wild Wild West.
A Wild Wild West. No. Have you seen that movie?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Oh, man, you gotta see that movie sometime. Especially if you've ever seen the old TV show. Because it's just, what the hell? And then if you listen to, if you watch An Evening with Kevin Smith, it just takes on a whole other dimension. Have you seen that?
I have, but I don't remember it. It's been a while.
I believe the line is, giant fucking spider in the second act. Or in the third act, I guess.
Right.
Okay. Well, anyways. Go. Listen to me, folks. Go. Watch Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West. I like taking the consonants off all three of those words. Wild Wild West. Anyways.
Actually, there's still some consonants in there. I think what you want to say is people need to go watch.
I was saying consonants at the end. So people should go watch Wah Wah Wah. Anyways, then watch An Evening with Kevin Smith and be entertained. And that is all I have to say about that, Dave.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, just to loop the segment around, Close it off, put a bow on it, our listeners might evangelize and like us more if you didn't give them all this goddamn homework.
Homework is delicious. But it's... When I give it, I give better homework than other people whose homework is bad.
And I think we can leave this segment there.
All right, fine. Well, Dave, do you have anything else to add to episode 39? Or shall we take a break? Or are you just ready to float on with life? Because I think we've delivered quite a show.
I was thinking we could take a break, but if you want to close it off entirely.
Now you're going to blame me, and people out there are going to think I'm the one who's not giving them enough.
Yeah.
When you and I both know, I'm giving them all they can take.
I'm trying to parse through that.
Yeah. Take your time. And denouement. That was your denouement?
That's all I had.
That's your denouement. Ugh. Wow. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what that could be.
So are we denouementing? Is this Is this
well? That was the denouement of your processing of that stuff.
You know, that's...
I'm not. I don't want to denouement the whole thing that way.
Okay, because that happens a lot. I think you give me ideas. I really just churn through, and I put a lot of mental energy into getting the full implications of your ideas.
Right.
And what comes out is just. That happens a lot, I think.
All right, well, we'll take a break and we'll come back. And then we'll
close
end the show
it strong.
For no reason. Why didn't we end it before, people will say. And I will say, because Dave didn't want to. So that's the facts.
Hey, we could have ended it. We can end it now.
No.
You want me to end the show?
No, we will be right back with more of episode 39. Of I'm Trying to Think. And welcome back to the end of I'm Trying to Think, episode 39. I am your host, Chuck Warner. With me, as always, is my co-host, Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello. So we're kind of doing a reset?
We're just coming back around.
We
bring it all around. We do it like that, and we do it like this.
Yeah,
Yo. Oh, I wanted to say, that song...
Can you get White Fresh Prince to co-host?
That song, if we could find him.
Because
this song, so
I may be out.
You're saying I would be like with me as always would is what I say, but I would be wrong then. That would be sad.
I mean, you'd be like with me since Dave left, White Fresh Prince, and he'd just be like, you know, my name's Kevin.
Like, my name is Kevin, yo. Why you got to be talking that shit? Anyways, I wanted to say that that song was Heartthrob by Be Your Own Pet. And before that, earlier in the show, we had Muscle of Love, which is an Alice Cooper song that was covered by Cersei Link.
All right.
Congratulations to all of them for having albums and labels and contracts. We don't have any
In these uncertain economic times, that's always an impressive feat.
Yeah, well, I think Be Your Own Pet is pretty much done with having contracts, which is...
Yeah.
A shame for them.
They are not a going concern.
Yeah. So, sorry for being to Be Your Own Pet for your failure to continue to make albums. Probably could have... You were young kids. Probably could have signed like a 3 or 4 album deal. Just collected the fucking cash, you know? What? I mean, seriously. It's not like they're like the Police. Okay? They hadn't been around long enough to hate each other that much. Dave.
I don't know, but they were teenagers, though.
Yeah, but...
That shit can turn on a dime.
The Police were pretty young when they started, so...
Also, at least one of
them... But then they were together for a long time.
Also, at least one of them was Sting.
One of them was Sting. I really like Sting, and he makes me laugh, and he's been in a lot of funny things, but I bet he's an ass. Sting, if you're listening and you're not an ass, contact us at contact@imtryingtothink.com and tell us that you're not an ass, and we'll bring you on the show.
I like Stuart Copeland a lot, too, but I kind of get a vibe that he's also an ass.
Yeah, Stuart Copeland, I don't care. Don't write us. I don't want to hear from you.
But Andy Summers mostly keeps quiet.
Andy Summers, maybe. I'd maybe give you an interview. I'm just saying, maybe. Sting, though, bam. I get him on, and I'd be like, Fields of Gold, sing it for me. And he'd be like, it was Amazon me. And I'd be like, yeah, that shit's gold. And that's why you call it Fields of Gold. Is it wrong that that song kind of, like, it's ridiculous and he's singing like a retard, but, oh, I just said the R word, but I don't care.
No, you didn't even go retard. You went, like, mumbling Elvis.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he sings like mumbling Elvis, let's say. But that song kind of chokes me up, Dave.
What am I gonna feel
to go? Makes me a little teary. And I said the R word. I don't know how you feel about the R word. How do you feel about the R word, Dave?
Eh. I'm strongly committed to not caring that much either way about dropping the R bomb.
I don't think I care that much, but when people are pushing in a certain direction, I feel as if equal push should be put back, pushed in the other direction. Because not caring is truly the right path.
That's true. I'll argue against either position that one could take on that, depending on how I feel. You're right.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it.
Because I basically want everyone to not care. And in order to get everyone to not care, I have to talk them down from whatever position they have. Whether it's righteous indignation or, well, I guess righteous indignation in either direction.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what people express during but you don't see a lot of retards coming forward, like, that word's offensive. See, that was horribly offensive, what I just did there, to certain people. To other people, like people who watch Family Guy, they're laughing.
Mm.
Mm. Dave remains adamantly neutral. Yep. Dave, what makes a man turn neutral? Anyways, all right. So, Dave, is there anything else you'd like to tack on to the end of episode 39?
Nah, I think we're good. I think we got it.
You think we got it? All right. I don't know about you sometimes, Dave, but I still like you, and that's what's important. So,
friendship.
Friendship, Dave. Friendship is important. And speaking of friendship, I just want to talk for a moment about how much I love you all. I know I was saying some angry things earlier, but really, when it comes down to it, listeners, you're my pals, and there's nothing I can say that Kool & the Gang haven't said better. So, good night, listeners. Say goodnight.
Night, folks. Standing on the wall, get your back up off the wall. Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall, get your back up off the wall. I heard all the people saying, get down on it, come on then, get down on it.
Really sing along, Dave.
Get down on it,
come on. You got a mouthful of food. Sing.
Get down on it,
get down on it,
come on then,
get down on it. Yeah. I used to play this at the roller skating rink when I was a kid.
That makes sense.
And the guy got out on the rink and he would ride around and he would blow a whistle. And when he blew the whistle, everybody would crouch down. You see? Because I guess, I don't know, that's like a sport when you're on roller skates. And then, like, he'd blow the whistle again, everybody stand up.
Are you sure you grew up in the 80s and not the 70s?
I grew up. I this would have probably been the 90s, man. I was probably 12, 13. It was junior high.
I guess
if
you're in a roller rink, it's de facto the 70s.
Roller rink, you play whatever you want. Yeah, I mean, nobody's there to really.
I can tell you what I've played at the roller rink.
What did you play at the roller rink? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game.
Nope.
That's what I played.
Aerosmith's Revolution X.
Oh, that's not as good,
music
man.
Music is the weapon.
That is not as good. Oh.
No, it's terrible.
No, that's. But I'm not mad at that. I played a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. A lot of quarters. A lot of quarters. Well, that was a little bonus track for everybody.